Namaste Sur Swadidevi, Guru Fanukacharya. Namaste Sur Sanyavari, Prasgatya Deva Sitara. Om Girutamananasya, Janajana Salakaya, Saksu Samanatam Dena Tasmai, Sri Kavenama, Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Stapitam Dena Vitale, Mansakaptubhyas Japripasindavayavacha, Petitanam Pabinebhu Vaisavim. So Mahaprabhu had decided to go on his tour of South India. He wanted to go preaching. He had taken sannyas, and he had gone. His attempt was first to go to Vrindavan. Why? Why did he want to go to Vrindavan?
Because he was in the mood of separation from Krishna.
I was thinking of a simple answer. Because it's when one is free from all responsibilities and one is spiritually inclined, it's just natural to want to go to a holy place. This is Vrindavan, Mayapur. It's natural because the influence of the material energy is so much less than it is in the rest of the world. So it is so powerful there. But yes, Mahaprabhu was feeling separation from Krishna, so he wanted to go to that place, Vrindavan, because Vrindavanam Pratyaja Padamekam Nagacchati, that Krishna doesn't take even one step out of Vrindavan. So it's very easy to find him there. But as he was going to Vrindavan after taking sannyas, then he was he suddenly decided, and it was interesting that after he was with some of the devotees in Radhadesh, the place where the Ganga doesn't flow in Bengal. And then when the devotees woke up, it was still dark, and Mahaprabhu wasn't there, and they couldn't find him. Several kilometers away, they could hear someone chanting, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Where have you been? Huh? Huh? You have a note from your parents? You have a note from your teacher, from your parents? Okay, you can come anyway. But you have to stay after class and take some prasadam. Okay? So they heard someone just chanting so loudly Krishna's name, so piteously, with such calling Krishna's names. And then they, from kilometers away, they could hear Mahaprabhu chanting. So knowing that that sound vibration came from Mahaprabhu, they found out where he was. And then Mahaprabhu said, now I will go to Jagannath Puri. So they turned towards Puri and went to the house of Advaita Charja. And then they actually went to Puri. And there in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu changed the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he was a scholar before. He was one of the greatest scholars of his time. But he wasn't acting as if he was a devotee. It's even historically known that he had gone to Mathila and studied Navanyaya. And there was one book that made Mathila the center of all Navanyaya study, and no one could take a copy of that book. Just the opposite of the mood of the Krishna consciousness movement, where Prabhupada had us trying to convince people that we have something wonderful. Take a copy of this book, take a copy of this book, take a copy of this book. But the people in Mathila were afraid that if this book was distributed, then there would be other centers starting and it would be competition for them. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went there as a student, and he studied everything and he memorized the entire book, and then he started teaching in Navadvip. And then later he moved to Jagannath Puri, and he was so learned. And he was so when Mahaprabhu wishing to spread Krishna consciousness, he first changed the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And because he was such a prominent person, such a powerful, prominent, learned person, that set up the Krishna consciousness movement in Jagannath Puri. And the second person, there were three people that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I've come to Puri especially to deliver or be with, in one case especially. First was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and second was the king, because when the king becomes a devotee, then naturally everyone becomes devotees. And the third was Sri Ramananda Roy, whom Mahaprabhu will meet on his tour of South India. So after being in Jagannath Puri for some time, perhaps 6 weeks or something, or 2 months or something like that, then he decided that he wanted to continue touring South India. He wanted to go towards the south. and he wanted to preach there. He wanted to spread Krishna consciousness. This is the mood of a sannyasi, as we'll hear. Just depending on Krishna, and one's heart is overflowing with love for Krishna, and then letting that overflowing heart of Krishna prema, let the drops from that fall on so many different people wherever one travels. And that's just what Mahaprabhu did. So the problem with this plan of Mahaprabhu's was that the devotees in Jagannath Puri would have to, he wanted to go alone, so they wouldn't go with him, even though Nityananda Prabhu said, I know all the pathways in Jagannath Puri towards in the South India, because he had traveled there himself, so please allow me to come with you. And Mahaprabhu said no. And then he gave some reasons why he and Damodar Pandit and Mukunda and Jagannanda shouldn't travel with him. And they were as if they were criticisms, but actually it was showing how much love they had for him. So he continues. So there's a simple, since your two hands will always be engaged in chanting and counting the holy names, how will you be able to carry the water pot and external garment? Here's Prabhupada's purport to that. From this verse, it is clear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the holy name a fixed number of times daily. The Goswamis used to follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Haridas Thakur also followed this principle. Concerning the Goswamis, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Srinivasa Charja confirms, Sankhya Purvakana Magana Natabi. In addition to other duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the system of chanting the holy names of the Lord a fixed number of times daily, as confirmed in the verse Tomara Dui Hashta Bada Namaganani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to count on his fingers. While one hand was engaged in chanting, the other hand kept the number of rounds. So he would chant on his fingers in this way, and this how many tens, etc. He would count on this hand, and then when it came to a certain amount, he would make some mark somewhere on his arm or something. So in this way, he would keep track, because it's required to chant a certain amount of rounds every day. That's the point that Prabhupada is making. This is corroborated in the Chaitanya Chandramrita and also in Srila Rupa Goswami's Stavamala. And then there's two verses. Therefore, devotees in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must chant at least 16 rounds daily. And this is the number prescribed by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Haridas Thakur chanted 300,000 names, 3 lakhs of names, a little under 200 rounds every day. 16 rounds is about 28,000 names. There is no need to imitate Haridas Thakur or the other Goswamis, but chanting the holy name a fixed number of times daily is essential for every devotee. Sometimes it is said in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't even accept food from anyone who is not a Lakheswar, chanting 64 rounds a day. But Prabhupada has adjusted things, understanding the capacity of those of us who live in the world, and those of us who are more active and don't have that ability. But yet, if one had that capacity, it certainly affects the mind and the consciousness in a wonderful way to chant more rounds. So in Vrindavan, during the Japa retreats, holy name retreats, there's one day when all the devotees chant 64 rounds a day, even if that isn't the usual number of rounds that they chant. And it's very, 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 of course, it's very uplifting to be associating with Krishna for so much of the day. Very uplifting. When we say uplifting, what do we mean? What does uplifting mean?
Lifts you up.
Yes, very good. Yes. And what is the opposite of uplifting?
Downgraded.
Yeah, or degraded. So if we chant 64 rounds of television every day, in other words, if we fill our consciousness with things like that, our consciousness becomes downlifted. And if we associate, because why we're associating with so many materialistic things and concepts, and our mind becomes filled with that, and it's such a burden when the mind is filled with materialistic thoughts. Such a burden. It's very painful. It's suffering. So it's such a relief if we can chant and be uplifted. So Prabhupada said there's a minimum of 16 rounds in his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Nityananda Prabhu, this point is brought up, say, because Mahaprabhu, he says, I want to go alone, and Nityananda Prabhu is bringing out the point that your two hands are going to be engaged in chanting, so how will you carry the few things that you'll take with you? And then also he continues, when along the way you fall unconscious in ecstatic love, who will protect your belongings, the water pot, garments, and so forth? Very simple belongings. Who will take care of you and the simple possessions you have if you fall unconscious while you're chanting? Why did Mahaprabhu sometimes fall unconscious? Why did he sometimes fall unconscious?
Maybe because of his ecstasy while chanting. His ecstatic love for Krishna.
Yeah. He'd be chanting and associating with Krishna personally. So, and sometimes he'd just want to be with Krishna so much that the soul would, in the mood of a devotee, he would fall unconscious to the ground. The devotees had seen this when he was chanting amongst them in Nabadweep when he started the Sankirtan movement. Sometimes he would laugh, and then sometimes he would just fall to the ground. Sometimes tears would pour out of his eyes like the flowing of the Ganga. Because the soul, he himself, of course, Mahaprabhu and his body are the same. Of course, it's a transcendental body, but just speaking in general terms, when the soul is in contact with Krishna, then that is the natural but ecstatic position of the soul. That is the constitutional, natural position of the soul. So it's ecstatic. And here in the material world, we have all downlifted consciousness, because we're associating with matter all the time. And therefore, even though we are eternal, our consciousness associating with matter, trying to enjoy matter, takes on the qualities of matter. And under the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So there's so much suffering attached to that. Nityananda Prabhu continues. Here is a simple Brahmana named Krishnadas. Please accept him and take him with you. That is my request. So Nityananda Prabhu was thinking of Mahaprabhu's, what would be good for Mahaprabhu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Krishnadas known as Kala Krishnadas is not the Kala Krishnadas mentioned in the 11th chapter, verse 37 of Adi Lila. The Kala Krishnadas mentioned in the 11th chapter is one of the 12 Gopals, cowherd boys, who appeared to substantiate the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is known as a great devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. The Brahmin named Kala Krishnadas, who went with Sri Chaitanya to South India and later to Bengal, is mentioned in the Madhya Lila, 10th chapter. One should not take these two to be the same person. It's something technical Prabhupada mentions. So then he explains what Krishnadas would do. He will carry your water pot and your clothing, your garments. You may do whatever you like, and he will not say one word. So he won't disturb the mood that you have, the concentration that you're trying to develop. He'll just be there as a servant, not thinking I have to get something. I'm with Mahaprabhu. I should ask all my questions, because he was in the mood of a servant just to facilitate Mahaprabhu's service. So don't worry about him, Nityananda Prabhu. He will just be a menial, ordinary servant for you, so he won't cause you any trouble at all. Accepting the request of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya took all his devotees and went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. As soon as they entered the house, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was as old as Mahaprabhu's father, and he was one of the most respected leaders in all of Puri. So as soon as Mahaprabhu entered his house, what do you think he did? What do you think he said? He said, do you think he said, how's it going, Mike? What do you think he did?
He paid obeisances.
Yeah, immediately he offered the Lord obeisances and a place to sit. He tried to make Mahaprabhu comfortable. After seating all the others, the Bhattacharya took his seat. That was his name, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What was his name? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That was his name. What was his name?
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Yes, very good. After they had discussed various topics about Lord Krishna, immediately they started talking about Krishna. But Mahaprabhu actually had something that he wanted to tell him, and that thing that he wanted to tell him was that he was going on a tour of South India. But first, as usual, they started talking about Krishna. Just imagine that Krishna was so much on the surface of everyone's consciousness that as soon as any of the devotees met together, they immediately started talking about Krishna. What do you think they said? What could have been one of the things they said about Krishna? We don't know, of course, but what? Say, if you were going to talk about Krishna right now, what would you say? It's hard to think of something because it's... What would you say? What could you say about Krishna? Yes?
About his naughtiness.
What about his naughtiness?
Stealing butter, playing with the monkeys.
So naughty. Oh, Krishna is so naughty. He steals butter. He plays with the monkeys. He gives some of the butter to the monkeys. And he runs away from Yashoda Maya. What else could we say about Krishna?
I would think how to please Krishna more, how to love him more and more.
How to love him more and more.
Chant more and do the more service.
What else could we say about Krishna? What else could you say about Krishna?
Krishna is so beautiful.
What does he look like?
So many parts of his body are just a lotus flock.
Like, name one.
His lotus eyes.
Mohan, could you say something about Krishna? One thing.
How much Krishna has helped us?
How much Krishna has helped you? How has Krishna helped you?
A lot of ways, he said. He's helped me a lot of ways because he helped me stay concentrated and learn some things to pass on my pass the competition. I got first place.
You did? By the grace of Krishna, yeah? That's very good. Don't forget that it's by Krishna's mercy, otherwise you'll think, I am number one. And then you will have a competitor with the real number one. And you know who the real number one is? It's Krishna. He's number one in everything. He's the most intelligent. Yes, always remember that anything you do that's successful is by the grace of Krishna. Because I can tell you 100% for sure that if he takes away your ability to be successful, you can't be successful. You can't even lift. Can you lift? Mohan, can you lift your right hand high in the air? Right hand. Yes, very good. Now, if Krishna doesn't, if he says, Mohan, from now on you can't lift your right hand in the air, you won't be able to do it. Your father has seen so many people like that. They no longer have the ability to lift their right hand in the air. Is that true? Yeah. Krishna can go, in 1 second, he can take away the ability to talk, or to speak of being number one in class, to walk, to talk, to even breathe. Just imagine if you had to be the one to remember to breathe every time. And then you got distracted or something, like the cricket was on or something, and then you forgot to breathe. But Krishna makes it just automatic. So the devotees got together and they just talked about Krishna for some time. But Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu had something he wanted to tell them. So he informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I have come to your place just to receive your order. So this is the subtle way of saying I'm going to India. I will. I've come here to receive your order. And this is what he says. My elder brother Vishwarup has taken sannyas and gone to South India. Now I must go and search for him. Please permit me to go. For I must tour South India. With your permission, I shall soon return very happily. So he emphasizes the part of I'm returning. But the devotees are all not thinking, oh, how nice it is that Mahaprabhu is soon to return. They're thinking how terrible it is that he's leaving soon. Very difficult for them to tolerate. So how do you think Savabhauma Bhattacharya reacted? He said, Savabhauma Bhattacharya became very agitated. Agitated means, do you know what that word means? Disturbed. Disturbed in mind. Do you ever become disturbed in your mind? Catching hold of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he grabbed the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave this sorrowful reply. He began to very, very unhappily. He replied to Mahaprabhu, who had just told him, I want to go to South India, but I'm coming back. He said, this is what he said. After many births, due to some pious activity, I have gotten your association. And now providence, meaning fate or Daivi or the will of God, but whatever it is, after so many births I have gotten your association, which has uplifted me so amazingly. But now providence is breaking this invaluable association. Invaluable means I can't estimate how important or valuable your association is. What can I compare it to? Having your association, what can I compare it to? Before, I was thinking God has no form. I was thinking myself very powerful, very intelligent. And now I'm filled with ecstasy and due to my relationship with Krishna being awakened. And this is due to you. So I'm so fortunate to have gained this. And now you're telling me that you're leaving? If a thunderbolt falls on my head. Raise your hand if you've ever had a thunderbolt fall on your head. No? Because if we had a thunderbolt hit us in the head.
You wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't be here. Where would you be? We don't know, but we wouldn't be here. But listen to what he says. If a thunderbolt falls on my head or if my son dies, I can tolerate it. But I cannot endure the unhappiness of your separation. So much love he has for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to deal with this? He's asked him for permission. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going unless you allow me to go. And he's saying, it's going to kill me, practically speaking, if you go. How is Mahaprabhu going to deal with this? My dear Lord, Savabhauma Bhattacharya says, you are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. Swatantra Ishwara. You are the independent supreme Lord. Certainly you will depart because you desire to. I know that. But still, I ask you to stay here a few days more so that I can see your lotus feet. Prabhupada wants told me that if something is auspicious, and I think there's some, at least a Hindi expression to this effect, if something is auspicious, do it immediately. Shubh. And if something is asubh, delay it. So Savabhauma Bhattacharya is thinking that Mahaprabhu's leaving his association is, it's worse than a thunderbolt hitting my head. Did you ever hear a thunderbolt? Did you ever hear the sound? What do you feel like when you hear a thunderbolt?
I'm scared and gonna.
Yeah, me too. Very frightening, because it's so powerful. And get what to speak of getting hit on the head. But he's saying that Mahaprabhu's leaving is worse than that for him. So just see how much he loves Mahaprabhu. So how do you think Mahaprabhu reacted to this request of Savabhauma Bhattacharya? He wanted to leave immediately. He's Swatantra Ishwara. He's the independent supreme Lord. And Mahaprabhu and Savabhauma Bhattacharya says, I know you're going to go. You are Swatantra Ishwara. But please stay a few more days. So his devotee is requesting him to stay a few days. So what do you think he will do? Yes, you are correct. Upon hearing Savabhauma Bhattacharya's request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relented. Relented means he gave in to the desire of Savabhauma Bhattacharya, and he stayed for a few days longer and did not depart. He did not leave. The Bhattacharya eagerly invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and fed him very nicely. And the Bhattacharya's wife, whose name was Satimata, did the cooking. The narrations of these pastimes are very wonderful. Later, Kaviraj Goswami says, I shall tell about this in elaborate detail But at present, I wish to describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South India tour. Raise your hand if you've ever been to South India. You went to South India? When did you go?
When I was small.
When you were small. How small were you when you were small? You were so little. You were once 8 months old. How big were you when you were 8 months old? This big? Bigger than this? This big? Or bigger?
Bigger.
This big?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. You remember. You were this big. What did you do when you were in South India? I think you were...
I had my hair cut and my bald and the Yamuna.
You went to the Yamuna? Oh, yeah. Did you go to Vrindavan when you went to South India?
Yes.
Good. So fortunate. No, it's all relative to, because if you're thinking of the Himalayas or Nepal, then Vrindavan is south. Right. It even describes that Mahaprabhu went to West India, and it was Vrindavan they were talking about. So from Bengal, that's West India. So after staying, how many days do you think he stayed with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya before he left?
4 days.
No, total come.
3 days.
Total what?
4, 5 days.
Ah, yes, very good, 5 days. After staying for 5 days, Deen Panch, at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally asked his permission to depart for South India. So what could he say? And after receiving the Bhattacharya's permission, what do you think Lord Chaitanya did next? What do you think he did? He got the permission of all the devotees, then he got the permission of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then what do you think he did? Yes, he went to Lord Jagannath to ask his permission, because Lord Jagannath he's the boss, the big boss. So you can't leave without getting the big boss's permission. So after receiving the Bhattacharya's permission, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. He took the Bhattacharya with him. Seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also begged his permission. The priest then immediately delivered prasad and a garland to Lord Chaitanya. Thus receiving Lord Jagannath's permission in the form of a garland, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances, and in great jubilation prepared to depart for South India. Now what does jubilation mean?
Triumphant joy.
Such joy! He was going to go to South India, accompanied by his personal associates and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated the altar of Jagannath. Raise your hand if you've circumambulated the altar of Lord Jagannath in Puri. Two. Mohan, did you? Did you do that? No? Next time. You should go to Vrindavan, and you should also go to Puri, okay? And also Navadvip. Okay?
Vrindavan.
Yeah. But you haven't been recently. You've been a long time ago to Vrindavan. It's about time that you go again, I think. I may be starting some family politics here and get myself in trouble. But how come your parents don't take you to Vrindavan?
For my next holiday.
Yeah, okay, next holiday. Good, okay. And maybe you can go to Jagannath Puri too. And then if you go to Jagannath Puri, you can circumambulate Lord Jagannath, just as Mahaprabhu did with the devotees. Accompanied by his personal associates and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated the altar of Jagannath. The Lord then departed on his South India tour. While the Lord was going along the path to Alalanath, which was located on the seashore, the path was, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave the following orders to Gopinath Acharya, who was his brother-in-law. Bring the 4 sets of kopan and outer garments I keep at home, and also some prasad of Lord Jagannath. You may carry these things with the help of some Brahmin. While Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was departing, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya submitted the following at his lotus feet. My Lord, I have one more request that I hope you will kindly fulfill. And you're going to South India, and there is one town that you will pass, and that town is named Vidyanagar. It is on the bank of the Godavari. You went there? Yes? think when you were very young, no, recently, Visakhapatnam, around that area. In the town of Vidyanagara, on the bank of the Godavari, there is a responsible government officer whose name is Ramananda Rai. It's currently named, the Prabhupada's purport says it's currently named Porbandar. Porbandar, no, that's a different one. That's in Gujarat. That's where Mahatma Gandhi is and Sudama's home is. But this is a different Porbandar. But there's another name for this place, too. I can't remember it now. So there's a government officer there whose name is Ramananda Rai. Please do not neglect thinking that he belongs to a Sudra family. He's actually the governor of the whole province. But don't neglect him thinking that he's born of a Kayasta Sudra family and he's engaged in material affairs. It is my request that you meet him without fail. Ramananda Rai is a suitable person to associate with you. No other devotee can compare with him in knowledge of the transcendental mellows. He's Rasika Bhakta, very, very pure and powerful, and he knows all about the dealings between Sisi Radha and Krishna. So in the next chapter, the next chapter, the meeting between Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is described in great detail, and it's a very important chapter. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is describing Ramananda Rai. He is a most learned scholar, as well as an expert in devotional mellows. Actually, he is most exalted. Do you know what exalted means? It means his consciousness is very elevated. It is very, very, he's very pure, he's very holy. Even though he's working, he has a job working as the governor, still he's most pure. He's a scholar, he's expert. If you talk with him, you will see how glorious he is. I could not realize when I first spoke to Ramananda Rai that his topics and endeavors were all transcendentally uncommon. I made fun of him simply because he was a Vaishnava. But by your mercy, I can now understand the truth about Ramananda Rai, what kind of a person he is. You will also acknowledge his greatness once you meet him. So Prabhupada has some purports here. I'll read one paragraph from one of the purports. A Vishayi is one who is attached to family and is interested only in wife, children, and worldly sense gratification. The senses can be engaged either in worldly enjoyment or in the service of the Lord. Those who are not engaged in the service of the Lord are interested only in material sense gratification. They are called Vishayi. Sri Ramananda Rai was engaged in government service, and he belonged to the Karan or Kayasta class. He was certainly not a sannyasi in saffron cloth, yet he was in the transcendental position of a Paramhamsa householder. Before becoming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered Ramananda Rai an ordinary Vishayi because he was a householder engaged in government service. However, when the Bhattacharya was actually enlightened in Vaishnava philosophy, he could understand the exalted transcendental position of Sri Ramananda Rai. Therefore, he referred to him as Adhikari. An Adhikari is one who knows the transcendental science of Krishna and is engaged in his service. Therefore, all Grihastha devotees are designated as Dasa Adhikari. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sarvabhauma's request that he meet Ramananda Rai, and bidding him farewell, the Lord embraced him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Bhattacharya's blessings, Asirvad, while he was engaged in the devotional service of Lord Krishna at home. The Lord wished to return again to Jagannath Puri by his mercy. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed on his tour, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately fainted and fell to the ground. Now we'll read from Prabhupada's purport and then we'll end. The word Kariha Asirvade means, continue to bestow your blessings upon me. Being a sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the highest platform of respect and adoration, whereas Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as a householder, was on the second platform. Therefore, a sannyasi is supposed to offer blessings to a grihastha. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his practical behavior, requested the blessings of a grihastha. That is the special significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. He gave equal status to everyone, regardless of material considerations. His movement is thoroughly spiritual. Although apparently a grihastha householder, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was unlike the so-called commies interested in sense gratification. After being initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya was perfectly situated in the spiritual order. Therefore, it was quite possible for him to offer blessings even to a sannyasi. He was always engaged in the service of the Lord, even at home. In our disciplic line, we have the example of a perfect householder, Paramhamsa, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his book, Saranagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated, Ye dina grihe bhajana deki griheti goloka bhai. Whenever a householder glorifies the Supreme Lord in his home, his activities are immediately transformed into the activities of Goloka Vrindavan, spiritual activities taking place in Goloka Vrindavan, planet of Krishna. Activities exhibited by Krishna himself at Bhoma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham existing on this planet, are not different from his activities on the planet Goloka Vrindavan. This is proper realization of Vrindavan anywhere. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we inaugurated the new Vrindavan activities, whereas devotees are always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And this is not different from Goloka Vrindavan. The conclusion is that one who acts strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is competent to offer blessings to sannyasis, even though he be a grihastha householder. Although he is in an exalted position, a sannyasi must elevate himself to the transcendental platform by rendering service to the Lord. By his actual behavior, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged the blessings of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He set the example of how one should expect blessings from a Vaishnava regardless of his social position. Now, what do you remember from that long purport? Does anyone remember anything?
The social custom that established for the rest of us to follow. One is respected not according to the ashrama, but according to the age, advancements, and social status, not just on the one point that is ashramas.
But even more than that, yes, he's saying that a Vaishnava is in such a position, he's really making the point of how elevated an actual Vaishnava is, that he can bless even a sannyasi who's not a Vaishnava. So he's glorifying the position of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is one who's a devotee of Vishnu, of the Lord. Thank you. Anyone else remember anything? Yeah.
Devotees in Grihastha Ashram, they can, if they render service to the Lord, it directly correlates to the Goloka Vrindavan. So it's a transcendental service, even there, if they are in Grihasthas.
Yes, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya previously was neglecting Ramananda Roy, thinking that he's a Vishaya, sense enjoyer. But then when he understood the position of Ramananda Roy after associating with Mahaprabhu, he understood that Ramananda Roy was the most exalted spiritual person. Mm. So, are you a grihastha or a sannyasi? Are you a brahmachari or a vanaprastha? Which are you? You said brahmachari before, yes? Okay. Brahmachari actually means student. Are you a student? You know what a brahmachari is supposed to learn in school? The first thing, the most important thing for him to learn, do you know, is to be able to focus his mind and control his mind. If he learns how to control his mind, he is the most fortunate of persons. Then he'll be very powerful in his life. But when we go to school nowadays, even when I went to school, no one taught us how to control our mind. And not only that, we had no interest in learning how to control our mind. We wanted our mind to go. We wanted to watch television, we wanted to play this, and we wanted to only play and do whatever we wanted. But then the mind becomes very, very hard to control. And then when one is older, it becomes difficult. So if we can learn how to control the mind, then we are very fortunate. If we learn that when we're young, we are very fortunate. Now, sometimes you have the experience that your parents tell you to do something, but you don't feel like it, and you want to do the opposite. Sometimes that happens. So learning how to control the mind means you don't listen to what your mind tells you. You listen to what the people who love you and care for you tell you, that even though you don't feel like it, that's what it means to control the mind. And later on, your mind will become strong and under the control of your intelligence. Do you understand what I mean? Nowadays, obedience, that's what Prabhupada said. He said, obedience is the first law of discipline. To learn how to control the mind, one has to learn to be obedient. But how could you be obedient if you're surfing the internet all day long and your parents don't even know how to use the mobile phone properly, and when you're 6 years old you can use it better than them? How is very, very difficult in Kali Yuga. Therefore, chanting, chanting, chanting. Okay, any questions? Of course, yeah. What he was in his last life? I can't remember. Was he Brihaspati or something? I can't remember. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I do know that it is said that he went to the region because Mahaprabhu was coming. He was teaching in Navadvip. But when Mahaprabhu was there, he left Navadvip and went to Puri. So the question is asked, why did he leave Navadvip when Mahaprabhu was there, was coming? So the answer was that because he was teaching this Nyaya philosophy, which is basically impersonalistic, so he didn't want to do that in Mahaprabhu's presence, so he left and did it in Puri, and basically waited for Mahaprabhu, not consciously, but by the arrangement of Krishna. Probably in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, it probably says more about...
You mentioned that he went to Mithila?
Yeah.
Mithila, the place... Nyaya
Janak? Yeah, Janakpuri. That was the capital of Navanyaya before Navadvip became the capital. And it was because of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He started a school there, a competing school, or the Mithila school.
I was just trying to understand. So Mithila is a whole state for personalism.
Personalism or impersonalism?
Personalism. Because Maharaj Janak, he set up a standard that's so strong that he was even a spiritual master of Sukadeva Goswami. He was so... There was no one recorded better personality than Maharaj Janak. And he has got that special... And if he went to learn from over there, he got his PhD or whatever you say. How did he
really... And also even during Krishna's time, that's where Balasvim and Shrutadev, they were there too, those great devotees. But it seems like as Kali Yuga went on, that they, as they would say in American slang, they lost the plot. They didn't follow, and they thought scholarship was more important. Did you ever hear that slang expression, lost the plot?
Yes.
Yes. Is that okay?
But also, Ashtavakra Gita is impersonalism.
Ashtavakra Gita? Is that the book you mean?
No.
I never heard of that book. Not Ashtavakra Gita.
Samhita.
I think I know what you're thinking of.
But I think it is told to Janak Maharaj, isn't it?
Uh-huh. I don't know. Was it the Ashtavakra Gita?
Something
like
that. It's Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavatam.
I know. But there were many Maharaj Janakas. So it wasn't just one person. It was like a title for a great personality who was the king.
What I mean is Maharaj Janaka, mother, father.
Yeah. Yeah. Who who the city was named after, Janak Puri. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Good night. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Giraj Govardhan ki jai. Govinath ki jai.